Hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this program today. And we're going to get back into our study of man, the measure of all things. Last time we were together on our study, and this study, we talked about ways that man could die. And when we began this study, man started out perfect, if you remember. God created man in his image, and man was perfect. But then man fell, and sin came into man's existence, and it's been with us since then, and passed down. And the curse of the law has the curse of the law and the curse on man's sin has passed down with man all the way to us right now. And no man born today is born without a sinful nature and unregenerated. Now today we're going to also get back into our study, and we're going to start out with a new category. And I think I mentioned it to you before we stopped last time. We're going to talk about ways that men fear. Ways that men fear. Man, the measure of all things. You would think if man was the measure of all things, he wouldn't be scared of anything. I know a man, one of my mentors, made a statement that that's truth, and I really appreciate it. He said the measure of a man is not his intellect, how much he knows and how smart he is. Some of the smartest men, that have been some of the most wicked men. And they have. He said the measure of a man is what he loves and what he fears. What he loves and what he fears. What a man loves in his heart and what he's scared of, what he fears, is the measure. It shows you the real measure of a man. In the society of the man, the measure of all things, is portrayed that man's not afraid of nothing. That's what you see in society today, and it's a big theatrical facade. Man walks around with his shoulders back and his chin up and his chest out, and he's pretending all day long that he ain't scared of anything. But he is. Down deep in that heart and in that mind, he's scared of a lot of things. Man is scared of a lot of things. But you'd think that a man, the measure of all things, wouldn't be scared of anything if he's indeed the measure of all things. Now, what we're doing is getting in God's Word and finding out what man really is and finding out the true circumstances today with man, and not only today, but even back in history and in the future, what man really is and what man really, really, really thinks and what he really, really, really is scared of. You know, man portrays that he's not afraid of anything. And so much, that he's even arrogant about it. That he's not scared of anything. I remember that thing that got real big years ago, No Fear. Remember that when it hit the market? I mean, you had hats and socks and shoes and this and that and the other, and everything said No Fear. No Fear. No Fear. Wonder who they was. Wonder where that come from. Wonder why, where that originated. Whoever coined that, No Fear. I wonder who they was talking to. Surely they wasn't talking to themselves, was it? Well, there's a lot of people today in society, man, the measure of all things, that says that all the time. No fear, but he knows he's lying to himself inside of his heart. That's why he says it. But that was a big thing that came about, and the whole world grabbed hold of that thing. No fear. Everybody's got something with no fear on it. No fear. Kind of like Nike, the Nike check mark or whatever you call that. But it's also, they got anything that you want that's got no fear written on it. What do you mean no fear, man? Man, the measure of all things. What do you mean no fear? What do you mean? You're not scared of something? Well, I mean, why are you bringing that up? No fear. Is he trying to convince himself, or is he trying to convince everybody else that's around him that you ain't scared of nothing? The only thing people know when they see somebody with no fear on is that they're liars, and they're probably troublemakers. If you got something that says, I mean, if somebody's wearing and advertising something that says no fear, and is a human being, he's lying, because he is scared of something. Man does fear. You know, taking a look at the fruit, like we was talking about on that last subject that we was talking about, but taking a look at his fruit, it appears that backed into a corner without the Lord. Now, that's one thing that we have to keep in mind when we're studying this man, the measure of all things. We're talking about the way man is with the Lord, and we're talking about the way that man is without the Lord. Man, the measure of all things. But when man's backed into a corner without the Lord, man is scared of his own shadow. And he's only putting on a show. Yeah. Society's, you said, oh, well, I ain't scared of nothing. Well, you better be scared of some things. Did you know the Scripture commands you to be scared of things? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And for somebody to say that it's a sin to fear, it needs to have brain surgery, because there's something wrong with his thinking. The Bible says a lot about fear and has a lot to say about fear. And man has a lot to say about fear, too, trying to convince everybody that he ain't scared of nothing. The Bible says the older you grow, the more scared you get of things. Yeah. Read Ecclesiastes, it'll tell you. The 12th chapter, 11th and 12th chapter, it'll tell you. You know, society's built on fear. Man uses fear as a tool. As a tool to manipulate crowds and masses. Yeah. You didn't know that? The devil uses fear for all sorts of things, and man controls man with fear. A man might try to blow smoke and say he's not frightened, but in his heart, he's scared to death. King David was a warrior. Man, there wasn't nobody that didn't know King David and know that he was a warrior and a fighter. He's ready to go to war anytime. He's ready to duke it out anytime he wanted to. But he said he was scared of things. It's a funny thing, though, that the only one that man adamantly refuses to fear is the very one that he should be fearing, and that's the Lord. Man goes out of his stinking way to make it a matter in his life that he does not fear the Lord and is not going to fear the Lord, and on purpose does not fear the Lord. He'll hold a fist up to the Lord before he'll hold a fist up to a sheriff. Yeah. Right now he will. He gets to do that right now. Now, isn't that something? Now let's just look at some of the things that the Lord has to say about these unafraid mousy wousies. What does the Lord have to say about this fear and all these people that say that they're not scared of anything? Man, the measure of all things. You know, the scriptures say that the Lord is to be feared by man. There's a lot of preachers and I suppose some of it is true. There is such thing as a fear that is reverential fear. You fear somebody in a way to where you reverence them and you respect them, and they call it reverential fear. But when the Bible talks about fear, the Bible's talking about the kind of fear. I mean, it talks about that. There are situations in the Scriptures to where that is true, but it's not the main thing. It's the exception to the rule. The reverential fear is the exception. The main rule is that fear means fear, scared. The kind of scared that Moses talked about when he said he feared. He said he exceedingly quaked and trembled. Now, reverential fear doesn't make you quake and tremble. You walk into the president's office and you got a little bit of reverential fear. You're kind of scared because you're going to meet a man of power, and you're going to walk in and you're going to want to present yourself properly, and you're going to want to get respect back from him somehow, and him not to think you're an idiot and a hoodlum and blobbity blobbity blah blah blah. Reverential fear. But that's not what the scripture is talking about. The scripture is talking about being scared. Scared. Remember that other saying that's mostly in the South, I ain't scared, and they spell it S-K-E-E-R-E-D, or scared. I ain't scared. Ain't scared. Why are these people saying this stuff? And it's mankind that does this. It says, I ain't scared, no fear. All over the place. It's everywhere. But man is scared. And the scriptures say that the Lord is to be feared by man. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible says you don't even begin to start knowing anything until you fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, don't come at me and don't come at anybody else talking about how smart you are and how much knowledge you have. God says you're an idiot. He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And unless you fear God, you don't know nothing. You ain't even started knowing anything. A 5-year-old that fears the Lord knows more than you know. And I'm talking to somebody that doesn't fear the Lord and thinks that just because they got a PhD and a doctor's certificate and a blabbity blabbity and all these letters before and after their name, that they're somebody. But if you don't fear God and you have all those things, God says you're an idiot. Because the beginning of the knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And a man that doesn't fear the Lord, and I'm talking about scared of the Lord. You say, well, who wants a God that wants you to be scared of him? You do. Because you want him on your side and you want to be on his side. Because if he is indeed a God that needs to be scared of, that people need to be scared of, and his creation needs to fear and be scared of, you see, when it comes to this reverential fear, man made that up so that he can satisfy himself and think that he can stand before this mighty creator of all things and stand before this mighty creator and get respect from him. God's not going to respect you, not until you honor him and give him the glory that he deserves and you fear him properly like he should be feared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, the Bible says, despise wisdom and instruction. The scriptures say the Lord is to be feared by man. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Why would the Lord say, reverentially respect me? If God is indeed God, and he doesn't think like man, and he created man, and created the animal kingdom, the creatures, created the seraphims, and angels and all the host of heaven, and created all these things and all these creatures and all these creatures that are around his throne, that the Bible says, you haven't begun to see the things that God has created. When we get to glory, brother, you're going to see some things that God's created that live and are alive man making all these monsters down here and all this imaginary stuff and trying to bring all this stuff and that's another thing, man making all these scary movies and liking scary movies and like being scared by movies. Theatrical stuff. Stuff that can't get him. But see, God can get you. God can get you. And he can put you in a place and make you be scared of him. If you're too stupid to be scared of him to begin with. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." We're not to envy sinners. We're to fear the Lord and warn the sinners. Man, God's going to get you for that. I remember when we were little kids, and the kids don't do that today. They shoot each other and strangle each other and rape each other today. But not long ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, well, that's pretty long, but anyway, when we was kids, and we was all out in the yard, in our neighbor's yard, or the whole neighborhood full of kids, just around playing and hanging out with one another and just having a good, innocent time, not worried about anybody coming along and kidnapping nobody, not worried about anybody committing suicide, not worried about a drive-by shooting, not worried about all that kind of stuff, just having a good time, enjoying friendship with your buddies and all little boys and girls standing around. And somebody said something about God and made a bad remark about God. You didn't hear that kind of stuff in language back then. But if somebody happened to say something like that, everybody went and took a breath. Because the fear of God was in them. And little kids don't know anything about reverential fear. It's being scared. And you know what they'd say? God's going to get you. Oh, you proud, uppity, I ain't scared of nothing folks out there. God's going to get you. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. You go ahead and not be scared of him. Have some reverential fear there, Pastor. Mr. Christian. Go ahead and have your reverential fear. When you stand before him, you're going to shake in your bones. Your bones are going to shake in your skin when you stand before him. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Now, either God's going to do what he says and he's real and he is to be feared, or he's the biggest fake, lying person out there. And I'm going to tell you something. You start listening to people talk about Jesus Christ the way they talk about Jesus Christ today, it surprises me that it's God's grace is really showing up today, because the way people talk about Jesus Christ and say things about him. Oh, John Lennon said he was a little Jewish sissified punk or something like that. I wonder if that's what he's saying now. Hey, John, what'd you say about Jesus? Oh, John's too busy in hell, screaming. The fear of the Lord. Man says he ain't scared of nothing, but, you know, we're trying to figure this man, the measure of all things, out when it comes to this fear matter. Psalm chapter 128 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." The Bible says, blessed when you fear God and you're scared of him. You can love somebody and be scared of them. And you should love somebody to be scared of. If you're scared of God and you're on his side and you love him, then you know that he's going to take care of you. And that everybody else ought to be scared of him. When I don't want no God that wants me to be scared of him. No, you want a sissified, blonde-haired, effeminate-looking God that wants to just hug everybody and give everybody a kiss and tell you how good you are and how much better you're getting and overcoming. That's not the God of the Bible. That's these worldly gods. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." And that's exactly how fools are today that are against God and God haters. They rage against God and they're confident in their foolishness. They take confidence in God ain't going to do nothing to me. God going to get you. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." I'll tell you what, those 2 million Jews that came out of Egypt and was standing around the bottom of that mountain when God descended on that mountain and started talking to them Jews, they were so scared that they begged Moses to tell God not to say nothing to them anymore. That's just to speak to them. They begged Moses to go up there and ask God if he would just send the message through Moses and not speak to him anymore because they're so scared of him. They didn't reverentially fear him. They were scared of him. Man, the measure of all things. Says he ain't scared of nothing. That's what he says. You know, one thing that man is not going to be able to say is that he was not told that the Lord is to be feared. Even nature tells a man to fear God. You know, the verses that we just went over do not even begin to touch all the ones in the Bible concerning fear in God. You get in there studying the word fear and get in your... Get you a book that has all the words fear in the Bible and just go one by one and see what the Bible says about fear in the Scriptures just off of the word fear and fearing God. See what the Bible says about that. You know, not only do the Scriptures say that the Lord is to be feared by man. And remember what we're talking about now, ways that man fears. Man says he don't fear anything. No fear. I ain't scared. The Scriptures say that this loving, kind, compassionate, sweet, give me a hug and a kiss God that man fakes at worshiping is going to mock at your fear when it comes. That's what God says. Sorry about that. That's what God says. God says, you believing and trusting in this big old fake God that you think runs around wanting to give everybody a hug and a kiss, and is just as kind, compassionate, and sweetie-weedy. And God is sweet, and God is kind, and God is loving. But God is a balanced being, and He is also just. And He also dishes out justice. Right and wrong. Good and bad. Up and down. The scriptures say that this kind of God that man wants to worship and that man tries to make out of the God of the Bible, the living God of the Bible, and tries to mold Him into this little effeminate God that doesn't like to stand up for Himself about nothing and kind of just lets man push Him around as he wants to, is going to mock at man's fear when it comes. God said that. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 31. Listen to this. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, that don't sound like a very lovey-dovey God, does it? Listen to what He says. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You ain't scared of God, huh? God says, okay, you ain't scared of me. He says, okay, you don't want to listen to my word. You don't want to, set it not my counsel. You set my book over in the corner and let it build up with dust. You don't want to read it. You don't want to understand it. You don't want to fear me. You don't want none of my reproof when I correct you. You don't want to be corrected. He said, okay, I'll laugh at you when your calamity comes. I'm the one that keeps you safe. I'll back off and just let you have your way. He said, and I'm going to mock you when your fear comes. When you get scared, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to mock you. God says you're going to get scared. Well, what could man possibly get scared of? You know, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The scripture says that fear is going to come upon man. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Don't let nobody fool you. But man, the measure of all things, is scared of something. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 13 says, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There's a whole bunch of congregations could hear something like this. There's a whole bunch of churches that the Lord has set it not and going to laugh at you and laugh at them. You said that's a hard thing to say about your brothers and sisters. Well, it's true. Some of these churches ain't nothing but theatrical stand-up, wicked, ungodly, theatrical, ain't got a God, the Holy Ghost ain't within 1,000 miles from that church. And they put God outside and told Him to stay outside while we go in here and worship. Yeah. And shame on them. And the Lord says He's going to laugh at them when the hard times come. And He's going to mock at them when their fear comes. And especially the wicked and the people that like to stand up in front of other people and act like they're somebody and that they can talk to God just any old way that they want to. Little kids got more sense than that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And in chapter 12, verse 21, it says, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. You think Moses, while he was sitting there like he was being shocked with 220 voltage, he was shaking and just quaking. You think he was reverential fear? You think he was scared of God? He was scared of God. That's what made his body shake out of control and quake, he said. People are going to learn what they can say and what they can't say immediately when they lay eyes on the Lord. As soon as they get the full perspective of God and get the full vision of Him and an eye full of Him and a mind full of Him, they're going to know when to talk and when to shut up. Psalm chapter 119, verse 120, the Bible says, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. That's Brother David. David said that his flesh trembled for fear of God. Now, have you ever reverentially feared somebody and your flesh tremble? Tremble? Really? And David said, David was a warrior, and he said, I am afraid of thy judgments. David used the word afraid. And there's some of you out there that just can talk to God any old way you feel like you can, huh? Without telling Him you're sorry and without apologizing the way you're using your words in front of Him, huh? The Scriptures say that this loving, kind, compassionate, huggy, lovey, kissy-wissy God that the world and Christendom has made up is going to mock when your fear comes. There's a lot of people that don't know God. They don't know what He's like. They don't know His character. They don't know the way He thinks. Because they're not in that Bible, and they don't care. And they're all wrapped up and entangled in this world and the things of the world and the affections of the world and got no time for knowing God and what He gets mad at and what He doesn't get mad at and what He and why you should fear Him. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 120, the Bible, well, that was what David said. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I mean, if David was scared of God and was afraid of God, shouldn't we be? I mean, every man's conscience tells him what he ought to be scared of and what he should. Remember when we started out this study today, we said that the measure of a man is what he loves and what he fears. The real measure of a man. You don't measure men. The Lord said it's unwise for us to measure ourselves among ourselves. In other words, I'm not supposed to measure myself by watching you or watching anybody else. I'm not supposed to try to measure myself with other people. I'm supposed to measure myself by what the Bible says. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 25 and 26, listen to this. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Is that reverential fear? No, I don't think so. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The Lord has gone out of His way to try to tell everybody through His Word, through preaching, through teaching, through prophets. In every way that the Lord has mercifully tried to tell these people, tell man the measure of all things, that these things are coming. And man just pooches out his lips and picks up his chin and says, "Nah, phooey on you, Lord. I don't believe you. I ain't scared." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Knowing therefore the terror." Have you ever heard of reverential terror? "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." The scriptures say that this loving, kind, compassionate, sweetie-weedy God is not the God that you think you are controlling. That man, the measure of all things, and I'm talking to man, mankind. I know you listening that you do fear God. You wouldn't be here studying if you didn't fear the Lord. But, you know, we need to be reminded also that this lovey-dovey, kind, compassionate God is our best friend. And we can trust Him. And we do obey Him because we want to and not because we have to and because we love Him. But we also need to realize that when we stand before Him, we're going to do a little bit of shaking ourselves. We're going to all be standing around the judgment seat of Christ and waiting for your turn. And He's going to call your name, come forward, and you're going to go up there and stand before Jesus Christ in front of all them and in front of everybody, and the Lord's going to see what you've done in your body for Him since you've been saved and try your works. That's going to be scary enough, isn't it? And probably some of those things that are going to come up is some of the things that we've done since we've been saved that we didn't fear the Lord. And the Lord said, you know, it's kind of like your parents would say to you, "Didn't you know I was going to get on you about this? I mean, didn't you know what I thought about these things?" You think that's going to come out of the Lord's mouth? I'm glad we're not going to be judged. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not glad about Him being judged, but I'm glad that He chose to do what He did to take our judgment away from us, that we're not going to have to stand before God and be judged for sin. Aren't you? You know, it would seem that the just, by what the Lord said in the above, in the scriptures that we just got through reading, those four or five scriptures, would scare the pants off of anyone that read it. I mean, David said that he was scared of God, and then it said the terror of the Lord, and it said, talking about fearing God. And it wasn't in the scenario of reverential fear any time. It was being scared of Him. Do you think that if somebody was trying, now just listen, do you think that if somebody was trying to make you scared of God, that they'd be doing you a favor? You think that some things that people read in the scriptures and some things that people, I mean, I've been standing around when a lightning bolt hits the ground and not even a lightning bolt, but thunder cracked. Just like on when we were studying on that last recording, you hear that thunder crack in the background? Had you been sitting there sometimes and that thunder would just come out of nowhere and pow! And make you jump up scared? You scared of a little thunder? And not scared of the one that made that thunder? That controls it? Yeah, man, the measure of all things. You know, it seems like man would be scared. It'd scare his pants off. And anyone else that reads these scriptures. But not the high and mighty measure of all things, man. He ain't scared of nothing. At least that's what he says. At least that's what he says. You know, we talked about so far, and we're talking about the ways that man fears. Now, so far, what we've read in the scriptures does not encourage a man to be without fear of the Lord in any way, shape, or form. The scriptures say that the Lord is to be feared by man. And the scripture says that this imaginary God, this theatrical, compassionate, I don't know why they always want to make him effeminate, make him but it's not that kind of God. And God is not that kind of God. Jesus Christ is a man. And he behaved like a man. And God is a male. Him. Look it up. He has masculine traits. Listen, he said he's going to mock at your fear when it comes. So there's a couple different facts in that statement right there. Number one is he knows how you're behaving when it comes to fearing him. The second thing is that he knows what's coming ahead of you. He's going to mock you when you get scared. And he ain't going to take that fear away and try to help you. He's going to let you be scared. He's going to mock you when you get scared. You're going to be sitting there shaking and be scared. Well, what's the matter? You scared? Now, I'm talking about man, the measure of all things. I mean, we're talking about this man, mankind, that stands up and thinks he is the measure of all things and stands there with his chest pulled back and his legs standing there and his arms out and his chest poked out and his chin up, and he's somebody. That's not the portrait that the Bible paints of him. The reason man doesn't read that Bible is because that Bible knows man, and it don't talk very good about man because it tells the truth. You know, one other thing the Lord says among many is that besides fearing him, that his own are not to fear. If you belong to the Lord, you're not to fear. You're not to fear the things that man fears. There's one thing about being a good Christian and growing in Christ is knowing what to be scared of and what not to be scared of. And a lot of Christians are scared of some of the things of this world, scared of things that this world tries to make you scared of, and a lot of the things that the world is scared of that we're not supposed to be scared of. Listen to these scriptures. Now, this is not talking to man, the measure of all things. This is talking to somebody that loves God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, well, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say or whereof they affirm. That was one of the ones that I should have read about man that does not fear God. But listen to this one. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25, listen to this. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Completely different scenario right there. He's talking about somebody that loves the Lord. Be not afraid of sudden fear. And that means that Christians are going to have fear come into their life. Okay? Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, one thing that man always tries to do and is still doing, and you can turn that TV on, or you can, anything in society today is motivated and driven by trying to make you fear something, some way, somehow. And most of the time, it's something that don't even need to be in your mind. I got some surveys here about man, the measure of all things, and him always talking about, I ain't scared, no fear, and trying to convince everybody that he's not scared of anything. I'm going to share them with you in just a second. But listen to this, Psalm chapter 34 and verse 9. The Bible says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. We're not to be scared of human beings. Do you hear that? I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Not is doing, but can do unto me. Not to fear man. God says that there are ones that should fear him. And then when he says, when he's talking to the ones that love him, he tells us not to fear because we fear him. Listen to this. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love. When you know you're saved, you've got nothing to fear. But perfect love casteth out fear. When you know you're saved and you're under the protection of God and you're under the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it casts fear out. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's why an unsaved man, the measure of all things, is scared all the time. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 through 31, listen to this. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows, the Bible says in verse 31. Jesus said both of them things. Jesus said not be scared of a man that can kill you. That he can kill your body. Because your body's going back to the dust. And as soon as that body dies, you're leaving anyway. The Lord tells us. You see the difference there? We're talking about man, the measure of all things, and what man fears. There's one sort of fear. Fearing God is the main fear. And that's what man, the measure of all things, does everything in his power to try to keep from fearing and refuses to fear. And the Lord says he's going to laugh at you when your fear comes. But then he turns right around and the Lord shows us scripture and says, okay, you that love me and fear me, don't be scared of this stuff. Isn't that neat? Aren't you glad we got a wonderful God? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 5, the Lord said again, but I will forewarn you. Now, Jesus is not giving some advice or some knowledge. He's warning. He said, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. If it's reverential trust, why do you have to be warned to reverence somebody? It's not. It's being scared. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Yeah, man the measure of all things. Man the measure of all things. He ain't scared of nothing. Well, according to some surveys, that makes him a liar. Take a, you know, I got some charts. Now, listen, let me tell you something. In these studies, and I've already said that one time before, and I'll try to remind you as we go through these studies, that I have these on paper. And everything that I'm talking about and all the scripture that I'm reading, it's all runs parallel right alongside each other in on paper. And it's exactly like we're studying it. It's fill in the blank and goes right down one after the other as we talk about these things and study God's Word. If you want them, just email me and I'll send them to you and you can do them. But I have charts also on these study pages. For instance, like what we're fixing to read concerning like top 10 fears and stuff like that. The Chapman University does surveys of American fears. All right. There was one survey done back in 1977. It's fear of public speaking. Fear of public speaking. All right. But they put the top 14 fears of man. And it lists the top. This was from 1970. A 73 survey that was redone in 1977. Now, we're in 2022. Now, look at the difference in these fears and fear, the fear of man. In 1977, the number one fear was speaking before a group. The second one was heights. The third one was insects and bugs. The fourth fear of man was financial problems. The fifth fear of man in 1977 was deep water. The sixth fear of man was sickness. The seventh was death. The eighth was flying in 1977. The ninth was loneliness. Now these are things that man's scared of, that man fears. This is a survey in 1977 that asks what man fears. The 10th was the fear of dogs in 1977. The 11th was driving in a car. The 12th was darkness. The 13th was elevators. And the 14th was escalators. Now, let's move forward. The top 10 fears of 2018. It's about 4 or 5 years ago. Remember, you can tell what a man is by what he loves and what he fears. There are 10 fears for which the highest percentage of Americans reported being afraid of and very afraid of. From 0 to 100%. The first one is corruption of government and officials. 74% of all people said that they're scared of corruption of government officials. What'd the Lord tell us? Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The Bible says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. The fear of man bringeth a snare. That's God's word to us. But now, man, the measure of all things, 74% of them are scared of corruption of government officials. The next one was 62% of all people said pollution of the oceans and rivers and lakes. Man is scared of that? not scared of pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes. Man lives in fear of that. Man lives in 61% live in fear of pollution of drinking water. 61% of Americans reported being scared, being afraid, or very afraid of pollution of drinking water. 57% of Americans said that they feared not having enough money for the future. Listen to these things. Maybe some of them's applying to you. Why are they applying to you? 57% of Americans are scared of people they love becoming seriously ill. Scared of something that they don't know whether it's going to happen or not. You can't tell whether somebody's going to become ill or not become ill. But they're scared of it. 55% of Americans are scared of air pollution or very scared of it. 54% of Americans are scared of extinction of plant and animal species. There's people walking around scared that there's not going to be any more plants and there's not going to be any more animals. Fifty-three percent of Americans in 2018 are scared of global warming and climate change. And the last one is 53% of Americans are scared of high medical bills. I want you to notice something about them two surveys we just got through going over. One in 1977, and they were quite a bit different. I mean, elevators and escalators and driving a car and dogs and loneliness and flying and sickness and, you know, some of the things went together, but not quite like 2018 fears. Man's getting more scared by the year. And scared of things that he shouldn't even be thinking about. But one thing to notice, and I want you to really notice this, is that in both surveys in 1977 and 2018, God was not in there, not 1%. Nobody's scared of God. In 1977, he didn't even make the list. In 2018, he didn't even make the list. You know what made the list? Government fears, environmental fears, economic fears, and illness and death fears. But nothing about God. Man, the measure of all things. You can tell what a man is by what he loves and what he fears. Let me ask you a question. By these two surveys, what is man the measure of all things by the fears that he himself gave survey about what he was scared of? What is man the measure of all things? You can tell what a man is by what he loves and what he fears. Some more human fears: old age, death, failure, rejection, ridicule, criticism, pain, ill health, disappointment, the unknown, being scared of something that you don't even know what, losing your freedom. Rejection, death, fear of the loss of self-dominance. Now there's the man of fear of isolation. Man ain't scared, huh? Man, the measure of all things. I ain't scared. I ain't scared of nothing. You ain't scared of God. You scared of all this stuff, but you ain't scared of God. You know, God can fix everything that we talked about right here that man's walking around scared of. He can fix failure. He can fix rejection. He can fix the unknown. He can fix the death. And matter of fact, he addresses these things in the scriptures. He addresses the fear of death, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of ridicule, loneliness, misery, pain, disappointment, the fear of the unknown, the fear of losing your freedom. He addresses all of this in the scriptures, but nobody wants anything to do with God. This is the man, the measure of all things. This is today. That was back in 2018, these fears that I just got through reading: government, environment, economic, and illness, and death. What do you think they are in 2024? The fear of watching another debate and watching the top candidates, sophisticated, that have integrity and dignity, all these officials that stand up on TV and cuss each other out and talk about their children and their mamas and their daddies try to get elected. Boy, man's come a long way, hasn't he? My, oh my. My, oh my. Well, we'll stop right there. Let me give you these verses. Well, the only thing that we talked about today, brothers and sisters, is ways that man fears. Man's a liar. Man is scared. He's scared to death. But he's scared to death of all the wrong things. You know why? Because he's booted the Lord out. You don't want the Lord, you get exactly what the Lord says you get. You get mocked. Because he's going to laugh at you when you're scared. You want to try to mock the Lord, he's going to laugh at you when you're worried about your government officials. He's going to laugh at you and mock you. What about your pollutions of the oceans and rivers? God owns all that stuff. And you worried about it? God's going to laugh at you about that. Pollution of drinking water? God's going to laugh at you about that. You worried about running out of money? God's going to laugh at you about that. He said money is the root of all evil. Air pollution? Extinction of plant and animal species? Oh, God don't need your approval to do that. He just sent a drought and everything will die. Global warming and climate change? The earth is cracked from the center all the way out and got nothing but plates shifting. You're living on a cracked piece of dirt that's cracked all to pieces. And it's shifting and moving and traveling through space thousands of miles an hour, and you're worried about climate change. Man's fear, man's scared of that, but he ain't scared of God. And you worried about high medical bills, huh? But you ain't scared of God? Jesus said to fear him that can cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. But you're scared of isolation? And that one, boy, that really sums up, man. The fear of loss or self-dominance. That's self. Yep. Okay, we'll stop right there. Ways that man fears. I think man, the measure of all things, is a scared creature, don't you? I do. The next thing we're going to talk about in this study of man, the measure of all things, is wars. Wars. What wars? What wars are you talking about? Oh, you'll see. You'll see. Man says that he's making peace and everything's coming to peace, and peace this and peace that and peace this. We're going to check man out, and we're going to run him through the ropes next study. We're going to find out whether he really means peace or not. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Psalm chapter 128, verse 1. Psalm chapter 33, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 31. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 and chapter 12, verse 21. Psalm chapter 119, 120. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 and 29, verse 25. Psalm chapter 34, verse 9. And chapter 56, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 and verse 31. And Luke chapter 12, verse 5. Those are all the scriptures that we've been over today. Praise the Lord. All right, brothers and sisters. That's all we've done was went over God's Word and what He says about this matter of fear. And man says that he doesn't fear anything. He's not scared, but he is scared. Man's scared of a bunch of stuff that God don't even take note of. He's not even concerned about it. The Lord says and commands for us to fear Him. To fear Him. And He says for all of us that do fear Him, not to be scared of all this nonsense that the world is scared of. Amen? All right. I'm glad God thinks the way He does, and I'm glad He teaches us and allows us to think like He does, and is teaching us to think like our Lord Jesus. We're going to have the minds of Christ, the minds of Christ, and we're putting on the image of the Lord every day, day by day, and every time we get in the book. Amen? Well, God bless you for studying today. Thank you for your patience, and man does fear. He's scared. He's just scared of all the wrong things. And don't let that be you. Let's not let that be us. Let's fear the Lord. Give Him reverential fear, but also be scared of Him. Because He's not a God to be toyed with. And we're not to toy with Him. We're to love Him and respect Him and reverence Him. And know that He has the power to back up anything that He wants and what He says. And we do. And can't wait to be with Him, right? Amen. All right, well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.